Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest today is Dr. Phil Bishop. He is a professor of kinesiology and physical education at the University of Alabama. And if I was just concerned about my UT crowd here in East Tennessee, then I would offer some more disclaimers. But since this broadcast goes all over the U.S. and into Canada, many of our listeners don't even know about the rivalry that exists with the University of Alabama and everybody else. And I think it's just because Alabama keeps beating everybody else, but we won't talk about that either. Phil, welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, sir. I'm happy to be here and excited to be on your program.
You've got a wonderful new book that you did with Walt Larimore. And I'm just curious, how did the two of you decide to work on this project?
Well, we have been friends for many years. We actually were ministering together, and in the course of doing that, I knew Walt had written a series of books. I think he's up to about 30 or a little more.
Yeah.
And I have had a couple of book proposals and having difficulty, and I talked to Walt about this and said, "Hey, why don't we do a book together?" And
that's great.
He graciously consented, and he's got a little bit different expertise. He's a medical doctor, deals with sick people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an exercise physiologist. I deal with disgustingly healthy people. I'm dealing with athletes and then workers, and we do research on very, very healthy people because of ethical reasons. But we had different perspectives, and we thought, well, together we should make a pretty good team to cover these four big areas of wellness and general health.
Well, the book is Fit Over 50. And I want those of you who are not yet over 50 but listening to this broadcast to realize this also is for you, because I used to be under 50 and now I'm well over 50, and the intervening time went by so quickly that it was absolutely amazing. So I think everybody, the instruction that you folks give in this book is for people, it is beneficial for people of all ages, but it is especially targeted for those of us who are over 50. Now, Phil, you know, I joke with those who love me about the fact that I live a fairly sedentary life these days, and it's because I realize in the sovereignty of God, He knows how many heartbeats I have left, and I don't want to use them up too quickly. But I think, you know, someone told me the most important medical decision you'll ever make is who your parents are. And again, it's a joke, but there's a lot of truth to it. The importance of our genetic makeup is hard to overstate. There's a whole lot that we're born with, and some people have a much stronger constitution than others. But it seems to me the genius and importance of your book is that it helps us make the most of whatever hand we were dealt. If you just say, well, I come from a family where all the men die in their 40s. Well, if you're 50 already, you need to let go of that crutch and realize you've got some time left. You need to make the most of it. And this book helps people do that, doesn't it?
Well, yes, sir. That's really our goal. And you're right. People have different giftings. God has given some people with a better constitution than others, and you know, that's not a new thing. That's been
right
time immemorial. But you know, we want you to be a good steward of what God has given you.
Exactly.
And so different people, some people will like to walk, and some people really don't like to walk, and they like to cycle, and some people like to run, and some people tend to get fat easily, and some people tend to not get so fat so easily, and so we're all up against sort of different challenges.
Yes.
But everybody can make the most of what God has given them. And we want people to be not just healthy. I mean, what does it profit a man to be, or woman, to be disgustingly healthy and lose their own soul?
Amen.
What will a man give for a soul? That's a paraphrase of Matthew 16:26.
Yeah.
And so we want people to be healthy in all aspects, not just the physical health, which is what people always think about, but also the relational health, emotional health, and spiritual health, along with the physical health.
Yes. And again, your book does a beautiful job of hitting a balance and addressing all four of those areas, four key areas you talk about. And I was intrigued by the fact that right off the bat, you are unapologetically Christian in your approach. You're not trying to hide that or just give it to us at the end. You talk about the importance of forgiveness as an essential to wellness. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, yes, sir. And Scripture expands on it even more than we can do on our radio conversation here.
Yes.
But failing to forgive, harboring that root of bitterness, and someone's described that as taking poison to try to harm someone else.
Yes.
It is just very, very hard on your health. And these relational issues, you know, forgiving, realizing God is sovereign, putting our faith and trust in what God has done.
Yes.
And we're all sinners. You know, there's two kinds of sinners in the world, repentant sinners and non-repentant sinners.
Yes.
And those of us who are believers are still sinners, and we need forgiveness too.
Amen.
It's not just not just we're forgiving other people, but we need forgiveness. And Christ once remarked that he who is forgiven much loveth much.
Amen.
And so we recognize how much we're forgiven, then how can we deny forgiveness to some little slight, or maybe big slight, or maybe grievous sin, but yet to harbor that and to fail to forgive is just drinking poison.
Amen. Amen. It turns out all the things that God tells us about do this and don't do that are for our good. It's really for our good. God knows how he made us, and his plan
Absolutely.
For us is a good plan. It's a gracious plan. It's a merciful plan. You know, you have two main parts to your book. The first part, 10 essentials, and then in part two, 22 tips for a happier, healthier you. In the section on essentials, you talk about balance, you talk about preventative care, you talk about forgiveness, and reducing SADness, sadness, but you call it SADness, and there's a good medical reason for that. Talk with us a little bit about SAD, if you would.
Yes, sir. You know, in that essential section, it's so crucial because that's laying the foundation for these tips.
Yes.
And sadness, everybody struggles with SADness to some extent. Stress, anxiety, and depression. And everybody deals with that. And in our young people in the USA, we are facing some, I don't want to say epidemic because that sounds too dramatic, but we're facing some really serious issues with suicide. And among our college students, number two cause of death for young people is suicide. Number one cause is accidents. And sometimes with a very clever suicide victim, you can't tell it wasn't an accident.
Yeah.
And so SAD for young people, but also for older folks.
Yes.
You know, we get to later in life and our health is declining, our physical abilities are declining. Oftentimes relationships are declining, and we put an emphasis on relationships in this book.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of reasons to be depressed, and stress is just part of our culture, and to be anxious. I mean, I have to struggle with anxiety. I'm a planner and a thinker, and so I can think of all the things that can go wrong. So again, as you said earlier, you know, God made us all differently, and some of us struggle more with one area than another.
Yes.
But this SADness is important for all people in our in our country at least, and, well, and much of Europe too.
Yeah, and I think many people are given at least a little help just by recognizing you're not alone in this struggle. If you know that other folks also, as you just said, have to deal with these issues, with stress, with anxiety, with depression. Not everybody struggles, as you said, to the same extent or in the same way, but everybody, one way or the other, has to learn to deal with this. And certainly, all of us know people who struggle profoundly in these areas. So I'm very glad that that's a part of the 10 essentials that you include in the first section of your book.
Yeah, yes, sir. And with social media, and mm-hmm. we think of social media being young people, but my wife and I are on social media almost every day. And with social media, it tends to exacerbate this because mm-hmm. what people tend to post on social media are just the opposite of SAD. It's, you know, it's the great meal I'm having, the great time I'm having, the beautiful place I'm visiting, all the good things. And we tend to, one of our sins is envy, mm-hmm. covetousness, and we mm-hmm. look at other people and we get a false perspective and we think, well, everybody else is doing wonderfully and here I am. And so your point that, you know, we're all suffering, it's just we don't see it in other people as much as we do in our own situation. So we do need perspective. And that's part of being, you know, the body of Christ is we can share these things and see these things and know that we are not alone, even in our saddest SAD-ness situation.
Yep. Now, you mentioned in the materials about your book, in your own testimony, that you have ADHD. I'm thinking when we talk about our friend Walt Larimore having written about 30 books, I think he just has hyperactivity disorder. I don't know that he has the AD part. He just has the hyperactivity part, but he certainly is productive. But, I mean, tons of people out there struggle with ADHD. One of my kids in particular, who is very, very successful and a huge blessing to other people like you are, has ADHD and has had it all his life. And I vacillate between whether he should have been medicated as a child or whether we did the right thing just by trying to provide him with plenty of challenging opportunities so that when he was 14, he was ready to head over to UT and go to school. You know, the fact that a person has issues like ADHD, which you have, or some other situation, that doesn't mean that that person's now incapacitated or inferior. God wires us differently and forms us in the womb according to His plan so that we will fulfill a unique role in life. And if we can see, as you said earlier, the opportunity to be a good steward of what God has given us, then we can really maximize not only the joy that we have in this life, but we can maximize the blessing that we are to others. The reason that I ought to guard my health, not in a neurotic way, but in a healthy way, being a good steward of my body, is because I want to make the most of the time God gives me in this life so that I can bless as many people as possible.
Yes, sir. I'm with you. And, you know, the ADHD, God was very gracious to me in many, many ways, but mm-hmm. one of the most gracious was making me a professor.
Yeah.
Because the nature of my task, ADHD, fit in extremely well, because I'd be sitting at my computer in my office working away on a paper or a research proposal or looking at a student paper, and a student would knock on the door and say, well, I know you're very busy, but, and I'd say, oh, I'm not too busy for you.
Yes.
Because I needed the interruption.
Yep.
The person would come in, we would chat, they would leave, I would pick right up right when I left off. So the great advantage of ADHD is that, you know, we often can accomplish a lot, and, you know, the phone rings, the people interrupt us. Well, if you're ADHD, you're going to have to stop after 5 minutes anyway. and so some of my colleagues would talk about setting aside hours and hours for writing.
Yes.
And I thought, man, I could not stand to do that because I couldn't sit there that long.
We'd go nuts, wouldn't we?
That's right. Yeah. But I can write very quickly for a few minutes and then go do something else and come back and pick right up and write very quickly for a few more minutes and then go do something else. And so, you know, taking what God has given you and using it to your advantage worked out extremely well for me. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Even in our fallen condition, even in a world that has been cursed because of sin, even in this setting, the glory of God is still seen in His creation, not only in the beautiful things that are all around us outdoors, but in mankind, in us. The articulate atheist who's railing against the existence of God is displaying the glory of God with his intelligence and his ability to articulate ideas that are utterly foolish. Everything ultimately points us to the greatness and the glory of God. And the enemy himself cannot do anything apart from God's sovereign will. So I love the fact that woven all throughout your work, you and Walt have done a beautiful job of pointing people back to the Lord. And clearly, whether you're talking about health and fitness, whether you're talking about forgiveness, whether you're talking about relationships, loving your neighbor, all through it, you keep pointing people back to the Lord. Now, some people would feel that you sort of, not that you have done this, you've done it right, but a lot of people tend to approach life in a compartmentalized way. The way that they treat their body, whether it is by idolizing their body and being very narcissistic and, you know, posing in front of the mirror constantly as they flex their muscles, or whether it's being a slovenly glutton, they compartmentalize and just feel that that doesn't have anything to do with their walk with God. But that's completely false, isn't it?
Well, yes, sir. You know, every aspect of our being is intended to glorify God, the
Amen.
God who spoke the cosmos into existence.
Yes.
And you mentioned, you know, the testimony of nature, you know, Romans chapter 1, you know, we have two scriptures. We have the written scripture, the Bible, and we also have the testimony of nature. And so when I look at the human body, I'm speaking partly for Walt here too, but when we look at the human body and we look at the marvels of what God has created, The oxygen transport, one of my areas of expertise, oxygen transport is just a marvelous thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just tremendous. And we look at that, and I used to tell my students, I say, now, if you believe these complex physiological systems happen by nothing but dumb luck, I wish I had that kind of faith. Because if I had that kind of faith, I would have been a much better Christian than I am now, because I just don't have that much faith. And so, you know, God has done a marvelous thing here, and God has intended for us to take every part of this as marvelous. And one of the things I didn't make it into the book, but I really feel strongly that the biggest thing I learned in studying the human body for about 37 years intently is that everyone is different.
Mm-hmm.
So what works for one person may not work very well for another person. You know, a total failure with one person works very well for another person. So, you know, I think God has put us in a position, particularly in our culture, where we can try something, and if it doesn't work, we've got the resources, opportunities to try something different.
Yes. Amen. And I have seen, you know, you spoke earlier of what Jesus said concerning what is the profit of man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul. I have seen people who broke all the rules of health, or so it would seem. I mean, in other words, physically they didn't do what would be conventional wisdom. I asked my grandmother when she was in her 90s, grandmother, you don't eat the way that doctors generally recommend. And I marvel at your excellent physical health, And yet the fact that, you know, you drink a Pepsi every day, you eat one or two pieces of chocolate every day, you have dessert at least twice a day, you typically have some sort of snack of cookies or something in the afternoon every day, and yet you have marvelous health in your 90s. How do you explain that? And she said, Jimmy, I concluded years ago, it's not so much what you eat, it's what eats you. And for her, that was true. It is not just about your diet. It's not just about exercise. It is about relationships. It is about attitude. It is about forgiving. It is about, ultimately, your walk with God. I have a friend who shall remain nameless who developed an exercise program that netted him millions of dollars. And he practiced what he preached. He kept himself in excellent physical condition and helped many other people to get in shape physically, and came in from jogging, a precious Christian man, came in from jogging and bent down to untie his shoe and fell over dead from a massive heart attack in his 40s. Now, the thing is, I don't think in any way that was God's wrath on this man who loved Jesus and served Jesus. I believe this was God's perfect timing, and it had an impact in the sovereignty of God on many other lives. But I'll tell you this, you can be the fittest person driving down the highway, and if a semi comes across the center line, your fitness is not going to be able to save you. God can save you, but all the exercise and diet and everything else is not going to do it. Ultimately, we need to trust ourselves to the Lord God. We need to depend upon Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So I'm not suggesting to my listeners that if they will follow your prescription here and Walt's prescription in this book, the 10 essentials, the 22 tips for a happier, healthier you, that's going to cause everybody to live to 100 with a sharp mind and a healthy body. What I am agreeing with you folks on is that this book is filled with sound counsel about how to make the most out of what God has given you. Whatever your health situation is, my oldest son was born with spina bifida. He's been a paraplegic his whole life. And yet, our son, with all of his problems, is so much healthier than many people I know who have never had to deal with paraplegia. They've never had to deal with having a neurogenic bowel and bladder, but they have not made the most of what they have, and as a result, now that my son's 40 and they're 40, they're not as healthy as my son. So making the most of what God gives you is what this book is about, and it is filled with excellent, medically sound, psychologically sound, if you'll allow me to use that term, emotional, relational, and biblically sound spiritual counsel. And I want to encourage people to get hold of Fit Over 50. Fit Over 50 by Walt Larimore and Philip Bishop. And Dr. Bishop, I'm just delighted that you folks have released this project. Where can folks get this book?
Well, it can be pre-ordered right now and actually get a discount if you pre-order it.
Yeah.
If you go to Amazon and search for, and if you hyphenate this, you'll find it more easily. Fit Over 50 -choices-healthier.
Good.
So again, at Amazon, Fit Over 50 -choices-healthier, you can pre-order the book and get a discount.
And that would be good stewardship, wouldn't it?
It would be, yes, sir.
All right. Phil, thank you so much for coming on the broadcast. Please give Walt my warm regards.
Thank you, sir. It's been a pleasure.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bless you, sir. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.